Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview with Mr. Wang Yang Lui at San Luis Obispo on April 25, 1982, by Sue Ellen Chen. This is tape 6. So you were in the guest room in Hearst Castle, treated like a king. Okay, yeah. For example.
We would have, I counted, seven servants around me. And they came in, it was a stormy night, and the water was seep into the French window, you know, and they would bring in an armload of bath towels, clean bath towels to plug up the cracks in the doorway that where the water was coming in. And so another one would take care of the gas furnace to see that I'm comfortable, and the maid would come in and take care of the bed and the towels and what have you, you know. And I had it all around me, and we really felt as though we were kings and queens. What a remarkable feeling. And they treated us so nicely. For breakfast, you know, we don't eat the common things that we get around here. We get imported and jams and jellies, you know, from faraway places like India and South America, and you know, like the beefsteaks that we get from Argentina, you know. We don't eat the Kansas City stuff or the locally slaughtered meat. The local slaughtered meat is for the farmhands who take care of his hundreds of thousands of head of cattle around on the ranch here.
Did he hire any Chinese cook or any Chinese servants?
No. At that time, I didn't see any Orientals working up there. I'm the only one that was around the place. As far as I remember, as I can see with my own eyes, there wasn't any Orientals in when it's periodically, and you know, just whenever it's quiet, when the thing is not working, or the castle laying idle, I say. But when he does throw a party like for a couple of hundred people, he would import some help from Los Angeles, you know, and fly up on his own plane, you know, to work and put on a big dinner party or something, whatever.
I see.
He had this was later on, this was in the 20s and 30s, you know. He had a E-19 bomber, an old plane from the First World War, and converted into a passenger carrier. So he flies between the Hearst Castle hilltop to Los Angeles in maybe a half an hour or something like that. He make a trip.
I see. Do you continue the friendship with him after even you didn't work for him? Do you still continue that?
Oh, I hear from him once in a while, yes. Very friendly. I got quite acquainted with his four sons, you know. And he comes up and play tennis. In fact, he had two swimming pools, you know, the large swimming pool, a Grecian pool on the outside, bigger than the ordinary Olympic pool, you know. And then he had an indoor Roman pool, which is studded with gold tile embedded in the walls with, among the other ornate fixtures, you know. And on top of this Roman pool, he had two tennis courts. And his son used to play the whole three. And sons, one of them doesn't play tennis, so they come up and play tennis with the guests, if there's any guests up there, you know.
So working for him, actually, also, you pick up quite a quite a few money, extra income.
Yeah, well, it's I didn't care about the
income.
Money so much. And I would, because I have a nice job, at the theater. I didn't care about the money, but the thrill of going and working for someone who has a castle, you know, that's one objective that many other person in town would be tickled for the for even a chance to go up and look at this place.
Right, and you were get
into the gate and.
And you had a chance
to privilege
to
be there,
yeah,
stay there overnight, night after night sometime. One time, it shows how elaborate things can get. One day, he decided to have a birthday party for himself. Okay, this was scheduled for one night. And he had a hardwood floor put in temporarily. That's just a temporary job, you know, put a hardwood floor for dancing and covered over with a circus tent. And so he hired three orchestras spotted around so that when one orchestra gets through playing one piece, another one picks up and so on, and revolve around like that. So he was going to entertain his guests for about, at that time, I think it was about a little over 200 guests for this one party.
Oh, I see.
And the thing went on and on and on, and I was waiting for a chance to show some pictures to for his guests, and the thing lasted 3 nights and 4 days.
Oh my.
Just went on, and some get tired to go and rest and come back again, and I went on, and I didn't have a chance to
show
much
pictures.
You know? But I was around there with him and mingling around with the celebrities from Hollywood, you know.
Oh, that's a nice experience.
It's an experience.
Yeah.
It was a vacation for me. In fact, I would pay to be in a place like that rather than get paid for it.
Right. Well, switch from that end to, it's about the same time that you were in Cal Poly. You were also very active in Cal Poly. When did you start you know, being active in the Alumni Association in Cal Poly?
Right after I graduated, right following, about 3 years after I graduated in 1923, electrical engineering, because I required the knowledge of electricity in the theater, with many motors and generators. About 1926, when I was, they nominated me as a secretary, and I was a secretary for 6 years, over six years. And I said, I think I better step down. I said, I know you would want me to stay as a secretary, but let somebody else have a chance at it because mm-hmm. it's an experience mm-hmm. and I enjoy doing it.
Mm-hmm. What are the other organizations on campus that you started?
Well,
like
and then I was elected as on the board of directors about 12 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was about 7 years ago, I was on Distinguished Alumni
uh-huh.
Selective Board.
Uh-huh.
I think that was the title of the thing.
Uh-huh.
So in my group of about five of us
mm-hmm.
meet
mm-hmm.
In the spring of each year mm-hmm. and select the alumnus of the year from
mm-hmm.
each college.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days there were only one, see,
right.
you just select one
uh-huh.
and that was it.
Now you have so many
we have been selected as alumnus of the year
mm-hmm.
and my sister Helen, she was selected as an alumnus of the year one year and Fred
uh-huh.
yeah the colonel
uh-huh.
Colonel Fred was selected as alumnus of the year for what reason I don't know.
Outstanding.
So but about 6 years ago I was elected on the on the selective alumnus of the year board.
So you have been serving in for this alumni association for mm-hmm. many years.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Polyface
Club?
Did you found the club?
Way back in about let's see, that was around 27, 28, right now.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't the founder of the thing, but I was elected as the first president of the Polyface Club, which is a society for electrical engineers of the campus. And
why you call it Polyface?
Polyface. Like a motor, you see, uh-huh. a motor is a delta sign, with three different coils.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, single phase is a combination of the three
uh-huh.
or something like
I
that.
I see. So you
adopted as a better name, would say.
Uh-huh.
It still is connected with electricity.
Uh-huh. What was the purpose of
Well, it's just a society, just like a sorority or other fraternities.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a group.
Was any sort of other motivation of promoting certain electronic engineering department?
No, it's just more or less of a society a group of
camp,
people,
uh-huh.
yeah, kind of a club, like.
Uh-huh. Most of the students are, most of the members were like alumni, the students or what?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
graduates of Cal Poly,
Oh, I see.
Polyface Club is only connect those people who graduated with electrical engineering at Cal Poly.
Mm-hmm. What did you do? What the club do besides get together?
It's just a social gathering.
Do you sort of set up a scholarship or something for the department?
We have scholarships. In fact, I started a scholarship for a electrical instructor, whom we like very well, and he helped me so much. So when he passed away, I started a scholarship for.
That's Dr. Wilder.
Yeah, Dr.
Uh-huh.
Wilder, yeah,
uh-huh.
you remember.
Okay.
And there are many other clubs, you know. scholarship groups that have been formed. But, as time goes on, no one was taken over, so the money that we have acquired, several thousand dollars, went into the general fund,
mm-hmm.
and now it's operated by the general fund and controlled by the state.
I see.
So the money goes out, the state has to know, you know, where mm-hmm. it goes to, and more or less like a student loan fund. You know.
I see. So but aside from the campus, you know, connected clubs, do you also belong to other social clubs? Like
yes, we, the Chinese group
mm-hmm.
that was going to Cal Poly, and we wanted to help them out, you know,
right.
make them feel at home, because they're home away from home,
right.
and yet among foreign people, you know, if they come from Hong Kong or Taiwan or other Asiatic countries, besides the American-born, you know, I don't mean the American-born,
oh, yeah.
Besides those, they feel more at home if somebody would befriend them, you know, befriend them and try to help them and make them feel free enough to get in, mixed in with the local society.
So that was the Chinese Students Association.
Yes, and we so we started this, got them to go into have a student association, Chinese student. So.
I see. Yeah. Well, probably you can give an example of the Chinese students come from foreign countries.
And call them
Okay.
So, talk about helping students with Cal Poly. We were acquainted with some people in Taiwan, and this man, he was taken up I forgot just what phase he was taken up mechanical engineering here. Mechanical engineering here, and he went back to Taiwan and and he has a family back there, and he has a family, and Bob Yang
uh-huh.
is one of the sons
uh-huh.
that we managed to get him to come over to go to Poly.
Uh-huh.
His mother and dad wanted him to go to Cal Poly,
uh-huh.
but they didn't know. Somebody has to
guide
him, back him up,
uh-huh.
and to get him over. So.
Uh-huh.
So we brought him over here. He joined Cal Poly,
uh-huh.
and
so sponsor him.
So
yeah.
We
Stella,
you got a plan.
One of the a nice young man that we got acquainted in
uh-huh.
in Taipei.
Uh-huh.
His father was a mechanical engineer of Cal Poly,
uh-huh.
but he wanted to send his son over here to go to school, to
uh-huh.
need someone to sponsor,
mm-hmm.
and we took it upon ourselves, such a nice man, we need to help
uh-huh.
People like that,
uh-huh.
and who wanted to come to school and couldn't make it,
uh-huh.
you know, unless somebody sponsored. So we took my wife and I took upon ourselves to sponsor him, had to come to Cal Poly, and he went to school and took up chemistry.
Uh-huh.
And now he is an assistant to professor of a department of chemistry in the University of Missouri. Mm-hmm. In Kansas City.
Ah.
So things of that type of what we're trying to do, help people who want to go to college here, and also the foreigners who are here.
Uh-huh.
To go into college, to make them feel at home. And so we formed this Chinese
Student Association. And
so,
now it has expanded quite big, that they have their own scholarship, and they have their own student loan.
Yes, it has grown to be the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually from the university office, that it has grown to be the biggest student
class, campus.
Mm-hmm. Campus student association
ever
of all.
Uh-huh.
And it's the largest and the most active one.
Uh-huh.
And every year they put on a nice big dinner for public relations during Chinese New Year, you know, and
right.
Put on the shows.
Uh-huh.
Besides the dinner and
mm-hmm.
entertainment, you know.
Yeah, and yesterday we talked about they brought in the line dance and the
line dance outfit
and all that. So
the line dance,
very, very impressive. Uh-huh.
Line dance is so impressive that it was known to other colleges like
right.
Santa Barbara and Fresno. Other places, they clear down to Phoenix, Arizona. They
oh, yeah.
want them to come down to perform to
right.
them.
Uh-huh. So what other social organization do you belong
social
to?
Social organization
mm-hmm.
besides fraternities like the Masons? I belong
oh,
to
those,
the Masons.
Yeah, we covered that. The Chinese Mason you belong to. Yeah, we did.
No,
you mentioned that. And
mentioned
how about American social
American,
clubs?
I belong to the Rotary Club.
Mm-hmm.
I have just passed my 50th year with the Rotary Club here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the oldest member of this local club,
mm-hmm.
although I wasn't the charter member,
mm-hmm.
But I'm the oldest one
mm-hmm.
in age and also membership.
Mm, I see. Uh-huh.
And I have held a perfect attendance record for 47 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to hit the 50 if I can. Perfect attendance means that every time the club has a meeting, I have to attend.
Uh-huh.
Or I have to make up with some other clubs
uh-huh.
in the area
uh-huh.
or in the country,
I
for
see.
That matter.
Uh-huh.
I can make up in Taiwan
uh-huh.
For a missed meeting here.
Uh-huh.
It's possible.
So the when you apply for Rotary, how did you get it? How did you join this club?
You don't join it. You have to be asked.
Okay.
If they want you, they give you an application,
uh-huh.
Or ask you to make sure that you wanted to join, and then they tell you what the club is about. You know, after you. Know what the functions of the club is.
Were you the first Chinese member, you know, asked to join
yes,
them?
Yes, uh-huh. I'm the first one that belongs to the San Luis Obispo Rotary Club.
First Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Was that a significant change that they start taking Chinese to join them? Because this is sort of a prestige club and very, very like a high-class club, if I'm right.
You talk about the Rotary?
Mm-hmm.
You have to indicate that you would like like to join.
Uh-huh.
And then they they Rotary Club has no national distinction in regards to foreigners, except when they first originated, only white men supposed to belong. But after a few years, that has done away with, and it made it international. International means that any other nationality can belong with no distinction. And they didn't like the all white club because that isn't really the proper feeling of a Rotarian. Rotarian supposed to be open hearted and understanding.
I see. So there was no objection to having you
today.
And how about the other groups? Were there any other?
Any other Rotary Club has the same, because it's international. It's a, I think there are something like 157 countries belong to the Rotary organization of close to a million
members
and all over the world.
But what I mean is other clubs rather than Rotary, you know.
Oh, there are.
There's any other clubs?
Other yes, there was 20-30 club, which means that you're between the age of 20 and 30. And then the Kiwanis Club, the Lions Club, and they also have Night Lions Club and Daylight Lions Club, you know, some, so they have, so that in order that every member has a, can attend meetings, some of them can't come at night, some of them can't come at day, so they have two distinct night and day clubs.
Do you belong to?
The Rotary Club is just a one day club, just a one club.
And how about 20-30 clubs?
20-30 club, that's a nightclub.
I see. And any other social function that you belong to?
No.
Of course,
we're not supposed to belong to two service clubs, you know.
I see.
That wouldn't be to any advantage to belong to two service clubs.
But of course, you did belong to the Historical Society.
Oh yeah, St. Historical Louis. Society, just like any other society, you know, Fuchsia Club or other Fork and Knife Club, you know.
When did you join the Historical Society? I know that you were president.
I was a founder of the San Luis Obispo County Historical Society. This was a time when this county was celebrating their 100th anniversary of the county. The county was 100 years old. That was 1950. 1950. And for a week's celebration, we have to think of all sorts of things to make it attractive and to for the celebration. And one of the things that came to our mind was to have a display of a machinery or not exactly machinery, but anything pertaining to the progress of this county for the last 100 years. So anything we used around here in the past 100 years would put on a display to show off what was being done in the last 100 years. For instance, butter churns or things of that sort, you know, thing that we have handled in the past is how we used to milk cows in the present day of milking cows, so forth, and how we make butter,
uh-huh.
cheese.
Uh-huh. So you're sort of celebrating the centennial,
the 100
right,
years,
and
the progress, the 100 years
right.
progress.
And after that, you formed the society.
When we had this display of things that we have used in the
uh-huh.
past 100 years,
uh-huh.
we said, gee, it was so successful that we decided to. I decided to put up a little table and a sign that said,
uh-huh.
"If you wish